Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here it is, the end of January already, so this is our last meeting in January. And we started out this year, 2008, with the whole idea of renewal. We were using the month to renew ourselves. That was meaning to renew our minds, to think bigger, better thoughts about ourselves, and to hold those thoughts throughout this year so that we can make 2008 the best year that we've ever had, and also to stop any lack and delay that's in your life. And do not postpone your good any longer. Give yourself permission to have that good, see that good. Don't listen to what the outside world is telling you. You can operate your life without any influence from the outside. All life, and your life and my life, start on the inside and work outward. The things to remember in this year of 2008 so that you can bring into your reality what you want is that you are the cause onto your own experience, and you are causing that by the way you are thinking. That it is absolutely a mental world that we live in, and we use our thinking to bring into this life that we want, the life that we have, the things that we want. So when we start to think bigger, better thoughts about ourselves, when we start to see abundance and prosperity everywhere and not listen to the doomers and gloomers of the world, we have that because we are, each and every one of us, creating our own reality. Remember my little saying, I'm glad I don't live in your universe. Make your own universe, make your own reality, and don't allow the world to tell you what is so. You are the one that has the power to do that, and you do that with your thinking. So, in 2008, what we want to do is absolutely convince ourselves to have that in your mind, on some track in your mind, the idea that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, so that that constantly comes up in any situation. So when you're starting to go down the tubes, you have to immediately press a button in your mind that says, ha-ha, wait a minute, I'm whole, complete, and perfect, I'm an absolutely wonderful human being, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. So once you have that going, things change in your life. But if you allow your mind to tell you, oh, I can't, oh, I'm awful, oh, the business is bad, the economy's bad, this is going on, that's going on, that is what you are going to get. Because what you think about, you bring about. So learn to think good thoughts about yourself. Learn to know that you're wonderful. Other people are wonderful. The economy is wonderful. And that money is always freely circulating in your life, and you always have a divine surplus. With that, let's look at this treatment that I handed out. I just love this one. It's about the law of attraction, which we all know about. The law of attraction is also the law of cause and effect. It's the law that runs. It's a mental law that runs throughout the whole entire universe. It's the whole idea behind that CD called The Secret. So holding thoughts of abundance, I attract all that fulfills me. You must hold thoughts of abundance. You are the one that's attracting things to you. Think of yourself as a magnet. And what are you attracting with this magnet? Okay? As a unique, dynamic creation of God, I experience my Creator in many ways. As comforter, pillar of strength, confidant, and friend. In every moment, however, I also experience God as divine law, a fundamental principle of truth expressing good in my life and in my world. The spiritual principle that underlies all of life is one of reciprocation, of giving and receiving, of attracting, holding thoughts of abundance. I change my way of speaking and acting, which attracts to me what fulfills and sustains me. As I focus my thoughts on wholeness and serenity, I naturally act in wholesome and peaceful ways. Healing and tranquility arise from within me, completing the cycle of spiritual principle. I attract all that I need through my awareness of God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. James 4:8. Let's go back to this idea. I change my way of speaking and acting, which attracts to me what fulfills and sustains me. Remember, word structure thought. What are you talking? What are you thinking about? holding thoughts of abundance, you must then not go out and start talking lack and limitation. That's a house divided against itself, and a house divided against itself will always fall. So it's disciplining our mind. What do you want? Keep that in mind, and you will start seeing that. But if you waffle back and forth, you're going to see nothing. And you'll waffle to the wrong side. You'll start to believe what the world is telling you. Remember, the world is very convincing. Do not believe what the world tells you. Do not believe that. All the facts in the world are not the truth. The fact that the present moment may be, that the economy is not doing well. But that is a fact. What you have to know is the truth. And the truth is, money is always freely circulating in your life, and you always have a divine surplus. So you always come from that truth. And you hold that truth till you see it. You hold the truth till you see it. It's very easy because we live in this thing that we call race mind. When race mind says the economy is very bad, this is happening and that's happening, we slide into that. And because of the whole idea of mass, there's more of them, that pulls mind that direction. You have to pull yourself away from that. You have to stand alone sometimes in this. But never, never, never give up on what you want. Never give up on yourself. You have to realize that you are a wonderful human being. You are a creation of this thing called God. And as we all know, God does not make junk. If you think you're junk or something's wrong with you, you're thinking that. God is not. That means that your mind, the ego part of your mind, is thinking that. You have to realize that you're not your mind. And you have to change your mind. Withdraw. Stand back. Talk to your mind and say, no, that is not who I am. This is who I am. And then go and do that. That's why it says speaking and acting. Remember in the 70s, when they had the human potential movement everywhere, the big thing was fake it till you make it. Start acting as though you have something and you will have it. Start acting as if. And it's done with that principle. That's metaphysics. That's what this whole teaching is. So don't give up on yourselves. Don't give up on the world. Make the world what you want it. Don't allow the world to make you. You're the one that's making the world. So, worthy, deserving, totally lovable energy matter. Bring it to the forefront of your mind. With that, let's do the magic.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay.
Yay.
Yes, those are the dogs. Do that for yourself in this new year. And you'll discover that the things that you want really will come. John, you had a wonderful thing. Life is turned around for you. And it's going to keep...
Well, how is that, John? Share. Do share.
You better know. I might need to hear him tell me so I'll remember how it
went.
Well, just a few weeks ago, you were out of work. You were depressed. You were this, you were that, and the whole works.
Car wreck.
Today, you have two jobs. That tells me something. So, you see, life changes. But it changed because you did not give up on yourself. You thought, you sat down and you said, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. And I matter enough to get a job. And you went out and looked for a job. The job didn't pop up, did it? No, you went and did things about it. You put something out there. That's what you have to do. You must always take an action step. And you did that. So pat yourself on the back. Know that you've done something. And that it's going to work for you. So wonderful things are coming. We're always moving from our good to our greater good, and you have to see that and know that. Now, tonight, you know, is the end of the month, so it's question and answer.
Yes.
So who has a question? Or who has an answer?
So along the lines of what you were just saying to John is, when things aren't like seemingly at their peak, whatever that definition that we have is, we don't acknowledge ourselves enough. And you've always said, you know, you must appreciate yourself.
Yes, you must appreciate yourself. You must appreciate yourself and you must appreciate life, and you must realize that everything that's going on in your life is going on in your life for a purpose. It's to take you someplace better than you were. But our little mind interprets it, oh, isn't this horrible? Isn't this bad? Isn't this? No. You must love every moment of your life. You must know that you're always divinely guided. You always take the right turn of the road. And God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. And let all that other stuff go. You say, well, we like to control all that stuff, don't we? We thought, I said, oh, well, this is bad. Oh, I'd rather have that. Oh, I'd rather have this, that, the other thing. No. Love where you are at the present moment. Love exactly where you are at the present moment, and things will start to change.
So do you think where you are is enough?
I want a lot more. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, I've had one sale in over
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. So, yes, I'd like to have more than that. That was yesterday. But, you know.
All right. In order to get more than that, you give yourself credit for having the sale, you see. And then you know that you're going to have more and more sales, that you're moving from your good to your greater good. But as you sit around and say, oh, but it took 2 weeks, and I may have it in 2 weeks, and this is going on,
right,
and that's going on, da 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 da, you've missed the point. You should be, oh my goodness, I had a sale. That means more is coming. Mm. That means you're opening up to things. Remember the whole idea of priming the pump. One sale, now you have one sale, you've primed the pump. So now keep doing that. Keep pushing, and more will come, and more will come, and more will come. And be happy for that. Be grateful for that. And know more is coming, you see. Yes, we all want more. Why do we think we used to say more, please? We always want more. But at the present moment, you have to know you are enough. And you have enough, and you do enough, and things are happening for you. But that mind and the world wants to tell you you haven't done enough.
So like when you have you try to visualize what you visualize having more sales?
This is very interesting because there's a guy who's been there. He's very good, and I was staying there. I guess it was Tuesday. I was almost ready to walk out because things weren't going. And he was asking me, "What do you do on the way to work?" And I was saying, "Well, I'm going to make a lot of sales or something." And he said, "The universe isn't ready for that. You need to know how you're going to answer people when they ask you, say no." You know, he said, you talk about practicing when someone says no on the way to work, how I'm going to answer that, you know, which was very interesting, it actually.
And he was correct, except for one thing. The universe was ready for it. You weren't ready for it. So you start at the wrong end, because if you would have run in and made 10 sales that day, you would have been overwhelmed. Your mind would not have been able to accept that. But if you start with the idea, oh, I can answer all questions that people ask. I never take no for an answer. I close every sale. Everyone that comes in here rents something from me. Your mind can accept that.
What do you sell?
It's Life Alert. But of course, they always start the people on with these sales with people who haven't called in a year. And of course, some of them are dead, and some of them get really upset.
See,
and some
you
of them
should have called.
They should have called.
You should have bought a Life Alert.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean,
it's
a good learning experience.
Sure,
I see how well they do it.
Is it telephone sales?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can't go to places and sell the product itself?
No. But
you can't?
They have a list that you go by that I have to go by. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
Do they give you scripts to
open? Yeah, yeah.
Then to overcome objections?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then...
And also
put that over the desk, you know, make sure that I'm there and I can
answer that.
You know, I found that in certain things, it's like the visualization thing. It is all about that. You have to just kind of go over that. Maybe you need to record yourself saying the objections so you can listen to it on a tape on the way in and out so that you can just get to a point where it is no longer a script.
Well, yeah. One thing that was said, my boss who's knows me, and he was saying, because you know have no money, when people say they don't have any money, you believe it, and you just say, okay, click.
Whoa, that's a huge, wow. That's huge.
That's interesting.
Why do we know about that?
Well, everybody has money. It's freely circulating.
Yeah.
Money is never the issue.
Right.
People say, I don't have money, so that you hang up the phone instead of say, I'm sorry to hear that, but
yeah.
Have you looked at this? Look what this would do for you. Da, 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 da. You'll sell it.
Well, I don't understand that. Like, I know several people that I was thinking that I should get life. They need life alert.
Well, call me. I'll give you...
And also, like, I'm thinking that at the Pasadena Senior Center, why can't you go there and do a presentation of...
Do they not want you to do that?
I don't know. I'll ask about that. It's very interesting. I don't know if they...
Well, because, like, outside sales, you got to go step out to where all the seniors are.
First of all, let me ask you this. Do you know that is a wonderful thing?
What?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know that people need that?
Yes.
All right. If you know that that's wonderful and the people need it, you ought to be able to sell that like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need it more than they need a house. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it's not a gimmick. It's not one of those. It's really a terrific device. My Aunt Catherine had it. Her cousin Betty had it. As I told you, Beverly, my friend, just got one. So
I think anybody who lives alone,
they love them.
My grandmother can use one.
It's just great.
Yeah, I've got to learn. I mean, they say go back to how that person felt when they fell down. And stuff.
Well, you're selling security.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're selling anything. It doesn't have to be that they're hurt. They could be being robbed, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, yes, they're selling security.
Well, you've got, I can see that it'll be just fine. You've got a nice, pleasant sounding voice.
Yes, you do.
You have an excellent voice. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that, you know, sometimes when I was doing the real estate, like in a transaction, I knew it was starting to go, you know, I had to have a difficult conversation. Or in the beginning of it, I said, I want to sell this house. And I get, you know, it takes me a while because I visualize, you know, sitting down and writing the contract and going, flipping the pages, literally. Going through every motion and going, looking and taking them out and, you know, step by step, inspections, blah, 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 making numerous, I mean, I see myself and then getting my check and signing it and actually putting it in the bank. I physically go there. It takes me a while to get there, like maybe 15 minutes of it, visualizing, but every time I've done it, it's always worked. So, visualize yourself on the way to work of answering the phone and really selling it and them saying yes and you getting a check and you depositing your check. Go to that extreme. Smell your office. Smell where you are. And I think that might help.
And give up your past.
What?
You have to give up the past. This is a whole new year and a whole new job for you. So don't take all that other stuff, bring that stuff with you. Oh, I didn't do it in the other job. Oh, I'm not good at this, I'm this, that, and the other thing. That has nothing to do with it. Each and every moment is new, so make it new. Every morning, get up with enthusiasm. How many would you like to sell a day?
I mean, as many as I can. I mean, I don't
That's not good.
That's not good.
You have to have a number.
Well, I'd like to sell 5 a day.
All right, then you have 5 a day, and you have that in your mind. So the whole day you work, 5 a day. At your desk when you're doing nothing, just keep writing 5.
Yeah, well, you're doodling.
Mm-hmm. Doodle 5.
Or put a big sheet of paper in, put it at your desk,
yes.
5.
You know? Or better.
Yeah.
Or more.
5
or
plus.
Mm-hmm. But 5 you can't plus. Say as many... The universe has nothing to do.
Then the universe goes ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, what does he mean?
He doesn't know, so okay.
You see, this thing we call God is intelligent, and you must approach God intelligently. You cannot be vague. That's what people do there. We're all vague around money. We're vague around what we want. We're vague around all these things. You have to know exactly.
But the interesting part about being vague, I decided, is that we don't think we can, in that vagueness, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to do this. Then maybe I'll change my mind. You can change your mind.
Yes, you can.
That's the hardest thing to remember for some people is, oh, I have a choice.
Yes. Constantly, if you don't like it, you can change your mind again. But you have to know at the beginning. So every day, think five. And we'll hold five in our minds for you.
Five a day, baby.
Only one mind. And what's known in one spot in mind must be known in all spots in mind. See, I can't know something that you don't know. It's an impossibility. I'm living, moving, and having my being in the mind of God. So are you. So if I know something, you have to know it. It's in that mind.
So where can we make that shift? Is because I can know it for you.
Yes.
I can know it for her. And a lot of times I can know it for me. But it's that practicing the presence at all times. Where does that shift come in? That's talking to our mind?
It's talking to your mind, and when you can see it for anybody, it's always easier to do something for somebody else. It's always easier to hold something for somebody else. Why do we hold it for ourselves? Because we don't think we're worthy, deserving, totally better, what we matter. But the other person does. Oh, they have more intelligence. They have more. They need it more. They need.
Or they're just saying that.
But we cannot come up with our own. Oh, I need it just as much. I'm just as good. I'm just as much.
Is that why we're vague?
Yes, that's why we're always vague.
We're vague because we don't think we're going to get it anyway.
Yes.
Because we don't deserve it.
Because we don't deserve it. We're not worthy. It's always going to roll back to that. You know, remember it's at that point. If you're having a problem with anything, the one problem you're having is a God problem. It's only ever one problem.
And a separation.
Yes, and the world loves to tell you, oh, it's this problem, that problem, you're having a marital problem, you're having this problem, you're having that. No, you're having a God problem. One problem.
It is. Really,
so when nothing's going on in your life, if you're not getting what you want, you have to sit down and say, huh, am I worthy, deserving, totally of a will I matter? And then you have to convince yourself that that is true. You're saying. Because the mind just goes on by itself. You're not your mind. You have to train your mind to think the thoughts that you want to think. And to feel the feelings that you want to feel. And that's what you do. So on the way to work, when a negative thought comes in, you must get rid of that. Or any time during the day when a negative thought comes in. And negative thoughts are going to come in. We're influenced by all this stuff out there. Fortunately, you had a great speaker today about the economy. You could have had one that was doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom.
Because you could
have been in the office stock and it would have been doom and gloom.
Yes. But you can try that on television. Each channel will have an economist, and each one's telling you something different.
Absolutely.
The one will say it's great, and the next channel you turn, horrible. It's just horrible out there. And what do? They can both come up with all the facts and the statistics and the reasons why what they're saying is true. They're making it up. That's their reality. You have to make your own reality.
Yeah, it's always they're making shit up. I love to get out this book. This is Dallas's book, Working with the Law by Raymond Hallowell. So I always like to pick out something that you've highlighted.
Okay.
Because this one is on the law of success, which is the last chapter of the book. And you've got one of the things underlined is you cannot aspire to succeed unless you have the power to succeed. Desire creates the power. Power inspires the mind of the individual, and success is the result of that inspiration rightly applied.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. It's, and he even says, just back here in a little ways, is it's all about the mental attitude.
Yes. We live in a mental world. Remember in 2008, we've got to remember that. It's a mental world. It does not look like that. And that everyone wants to convince you that it's not a mental world, and everyone wants to convince you that it's not your fault. We have to be grown-ups and spiritual grown-ups and say, whatever happens to me is my fault. Because I am always the cause of my own experience. But that does not mean that I have to blame myself shame myself the rest of my life, but I have to take that responsibility. If you don't, then you're placing that power outside of yourself. And we can all come up with excuses. My car accident, I would have loved to make that woman wrong. It was my fault. As soon as I was able to accept that, everything ran smoothly.
So why did you hit her?
I didn't hit her, she hit me, but I was in her right away.
And then you've got, the only remedy known for fear is understanding. When one understands that the universe is filled with the presence of God, there is nothing to fear.
There is nothing to fear. We said that earlier.
Right.
The only thing, what is it?
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yeah, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, which was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But I understand that that was Napoleon Hill who wrote that. That was my understanding of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Napoleon Hill wrote that. That little
speech.
Well, at least that saying. Mm-hmm. Napoleon Hill saying. Read that one more time, please. About fear.
Hey.
When you know that the universe...
When you know that there... That the... Of course, I turned to something else now. I'm going to have it. The only remedy known for fear is understanding. When one understands that the universe is filled with the presence of God, there's nothing to fear. So it's like when you say, if we say, all that I am is God, and then go out and go, I'm broke, then what we're saying, we don't believe it.
Yes, because you know what, remember, unity. It's unity. There's only God. So you cannot say there's only God, God is everywhere present, there's not a spot where God is not, and then be fearful.
Right.
Because that would be another power, and there's only one power. So if you have God in fear, which most brand name churches teach, mm-hmm. that's called separation. Mm-hmm. And you cannot have separation and expect to make a demonstration. So regardless of what's going on, you always have to go back to the idea that God is the source and the supply of your good. And God is the only source and supply of your good. Anything else that you see, money or anything coming to you, is a channel that God is using to give you your abundance and your prosperity. When people go out of the house and they say, be careful, if there's only God out there, what do you need to be careful about? What they were implying in their mind, there's a boogeyman out there that's going to get you. You have to get rid of fear. But we do fear because we have three locks on that door over there. Because somebody said somebody's going to come through that door and rob everything that you have. The world functions on fear, people. Everything that you buy because of fear. I buy toothpaste because I'm afraid my teeth will fall out and people won't like me. I put deodorant on because I'm afraid I may smell and people won't like me. I do this because I'm afraid of this. Everything we do is afraid, is based on fear. I buy a home because I don't want to be homeless. I'm afraid I'll be homeless. I buy a home because I'm afraid that I won't have money and this house will build up equity. It's always the underlying thing is going to be fear, where the underlying thing in your life should be God, you see. Should be God. So you have to sit down and say, what am I afraid of? And the answer has to be, I'm afraid of nothing. Because I am in the presence of God all the time. Why am I in the presence of God all the time? Because all that I am is God. So, where is the fear? There can be no fear. But the world teaches fear. And we grew up with fear, and our families feared everything. You know, I sent my brother an incense burner for his birthday. He said, well, Dallas, that lasted on the dining room table. It was smelling good till Patsy saw it. That's his wife. She immediately moved it to the sink because she's afraid there may be a fire.
Fear
of fire. I was never afraid of fire. I like candles all over the house. I go to bed with them lit. So he said, I'll be why? I said, well, they'll burn out. I don't go around blowing them out. I can't stand the smell of them when they blow out. They blow out by themselves. They don't make all that smell. I never burn down a house, nor do I have fire insurance, by the way. But I'm not afraid of those things. Now, she was brought up in a family that feared that. That's a learned thing. Fear is learned. A baby is afraid of nothing. A baby's only afraid of falling, they say.
And loud noises.
And loud noises, because they don't understand them.
Yeah, they don't know clapping. And
yeah.
Which is why they say when you have a baby, vacuum when they're napping.
Yes.
And you know, some parents, when they put the baby, just...
They oh my God, they put the shh, baby sleeping. I'm
yeah,
like,
and they tiptoe around.
Please, and the baby like, needs to sleep under all conditions.
The baby needs to get familiar with yeah. loud noises. Otherwise, they stay afraid of them.
Yes. But don't let fear get to you. And I'll tell you, the older that people become, the more fearful they become. You see, most people, an older person who lived here and looked at that door, when they were 60, would have... 3 locks, at 70 would have 5 locks, at 80 would have 9 locks. Finally, they would have that cemented in. You ever notice older people? They keep getting fearful and fearful and fearful. They have more locks and chains, and that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You cannot do that to yourself. What does fear do? Fear is a way of attracting things to you. What I fear most came upon me.
Fear sells. Fear sells.
All fear always sells. I thought you meant CEL. fear sells it. That's what the economy is run on.
Absolutely.
Fear. Madison Avenue is run on fear.
Pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceuticals. Everything
insurance
is run on
companies.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Here's a good one. I'm not quite sure. Success, after all, is only the collection of many good results.
Yes.
What, talk a little about that, because I'm like, okay, I would have said of many good thoughts, but he says many good results.
Well, which came from many good thoughts, but we build up our results. That's why concentrate on all your successes, never on all your failures. But mm-hmm. what do people do? They concentrate on their failures. In the real estate business, they do that. I didn't sell that house. I didn't sell that house. Mm-hmm. Well, what house did you sell? Concentrate on the things that work for you, not the things that didn't work for you. That's what that means.
Got it.
And it builds up. But we always jump to that side immediately.
Sure.
What happened to you today? Oh, I didn't sell that property. I didn't do this, 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 this.
I didn't, yeah.
And so that always, this is what I did today. You know, and your successes. Build upon your successes, not build upon your failures. If you keep building upon your failures, you just get one after the other. If you build upon your successes, you get more success. Think of building a house. Think of bricks and blocks. What blocks are you building your life with? The blocks of failure or the blocks of success?
Well, the first one paragraph is, the law of God denies man nothing.
Absolutely.
We deny ourselves.
Well, absolutely. Our little finite mind is the one who tells us that we're not worthy, deserving, totally unborn, that we matter.
Right.
And then we come up with all kinds of reasons and tell ourselves all kinds of stories why that is not true. So, my parents didn't like me, I didn't do this, I flunked a course in school, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. No. Look at all the right things that you did. Look at all. Everyone that succeeded had many failures before they succeeded. Everyone. No one was an instant success. No one was an instant success. And the people would say, oh, look at that. They were an instant success. It took them 30 years to become that instant success. The idea is not to give up and not to give up on yourself. Keep building your character. Keep building your inner strength by knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. Keep raising yourself. Forget your parents. Forget the world. Forget everything. You are a grown person now. Now, train yourself to think that way. You see, it was Paul who said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm a man, I no longer think. childish things. If you are still thinking childish things, which means things that happened to you, your mother told you you were no good, you never did anything right, this didn't happen, that didn't happen, you're back to the child mind. Mm-hmm. You must use your own mind now. Your parents can be wrong, for goodness sakes. They didn't mean to be wrong, but they were wrong. You know, I think parents are wonderful individuals. Do you think they got a book that said, oh, this is the way you do it? No. It was trial and error, for goodness sakes. Yeah. And a lot of repeat of what their parents did to them. That's all it was. But now you have to know that. You can save yourself 20 years or 30 years in therapy if you know that. You're the one that's doing it to yourself. With your thinking. Why? Because we live in a mental world. We live in a mental world. Done with the mind. Always. You can do it. You've had growth. You've had marvelous growth.
Yeah.
And your character has changed. Your whole personality has changed. Remember, you used to be gloomy guts all the time.
You used to be what?
Gloomy Gus.
Yeah, okay. I don't know the character, but yeah, I was gloomy, yeah.
Yes, you were. Yes. He was. Rain Cloud would come in with him. But he's changed, so you see, he can change. If you can change that, you can change anything. But we have to do it. So, pat yourself in the back. You're doing well.
Well, it's interesting to observe yourself doing your story. When one does it, their story, and to be observant of that,
yes,
and to stop that behavior.
Yes.
So I do. I can see my patterns. I'm like, oh, okay. Doing this again.
So each time you do that, then say to yourself, "I'm not going to do that again," and make your mind stop doing it to you.
Right.
The world likes to tell you that you're always going to have patterns. The world likes to tell you that you're always going to have issues. Who made that world up?
The world.
The world.
They make a great deal of money from you because it's your issue. You're not going to get over this, so you're always going to have this issue. You're not always going to have that issue. Make up your mind you're not going to have it, for goodness sakes.
Right.
You know? We love to be told, oh, we're habitual, we're this or that, the other thing. Don't be habitual.
It'll never go away.
It'll never go away. It runs in the family. Your father was just like that.
I went and heard Marianne Williamson speak a couple of weeks ago, and she said something very interesting, that as we get older and we've been through more pain, grief, the dark night, and all of those things that life has, that once we start being that observer, and then the fear, let's say the fear comes up, we can go, I know you. I'm not going to pick you up today. And how silly that might seem, and I will always say to somebody, if they say, well, that's silly, I say, yeah, but how's not doing that working?
Well, of course.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Life is easy. Life is simple. This whole idea is simple. We like to make it complicated because we think we're so important.
Yeah.
I have more issues than you have. Don't tell me your story. Mine is bigger and better than yours. And if it isn't, I'll make it bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. Sure. As I'm telling it, I'm going to change it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. See?
Yes.
Bella's shirt.
Pull something else out of the hat.
Yes. That's right. Pull something else out.
Yeah.
I can come up with a bigger one than you. You know, it's like the old fishing story, right? My fish was bigger than your fish. Mm-hmm. Don't fall for that stuff. Don't let your mind talk you into that kind of stuff. It's no good. You're all learning. We're all learning. We can have now, in 2008, what we want. You're so used to thinking, oh, next year or next week or when I get this, when I have that, then this will change and that will change. No, it won't. Change is only in the now, in this very instant. Make up your mind from this moment on. You're not going to think that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes up, don't think. Not going to entertain that. See, we let all kinds of thoughts into our mind that are mean, hateful, and all. But if a person came into our house, we wouldn't entertain a mean, hateful person, would we?
Right.
We'd throw them out. But yet, your mind is your house, it's your temple, it's part of your thing. But we let all that in there. Oh, okay. You can say, oh, keep driving me crazy, I like it. Throw them out.
Or if we had friends who talked to us like we talk to ourselves.
Yeah.
We would say, you know,
you wouldn't have the friend.
Right.
Well, you would hope you wouldn't have the friend. There's very many friendships that are
twisted.
Abusive to each other in that.
Well, that codependency type thing, yes.
Yeah.
Or think they have they can say anything without censorship because whatever. I mean, I find that at work when the bantering goes on, I get a little nervous because it's sort of like negative energy, you know. And it's hard to listen to at times.
At times it's hard to listen to all the time, you know. So just excuse yourself. For saying, interject something nice, that always gets them.
Mm-hmm.
It'll leave you in a hurry.
Well, it's very interesting, and I'm a part of this meeting that it involves our office, and it's about six or seven people that come together to try to figure out events to promote our office, or, you know, and it we're like the collective body to try to get the word out. Anyway, this one woman, she wanted to be maybe like a chairperson for the wellness of the office. And so at the meetings on Tuesday, they actually say some. Our boss always says, our manager always says, does anybody have a good word? And so she wanted to say, maybe we should, as an office, start promoting care, you know, a little bit more positive energy and say something at that point or have a saying or a poem, whatever. Anybody could do it. And immediately the people in the group, their eyes were like that's, I mean, the looks on their face was like, that's so, I could just see that, like, what does that mean? Or that's sort of weird. And my friend that was sitting next to me took it totally to the opposite extreme, where she's like, the last time I went to this caravan, this guy got up there and started preaching the Bible. I'm not having any part of this. I'm like, wow, that was a big leap. It was incredible what people, out of one sentence, because she said wellness, what people interpreted that as opposed to thinking, well, that would be nice if we heard something nice to start our meeting up. What could it hurt? And so it's very interesting to watch everybody's reaction to it. It got tabled. It didn't get voted on.
Well, it did get tabled, yes. In the morning, you have to say something nice to yourself, and saying something nice to you're making your world.
Right.
You're making your world.
Yeah.
But people don't. Mm-hmm. They buy into what the world's saying. See, most people think that the world is horrible, that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Mm-hmm. What's becoming in this world? People have been saying that since day one. There have always been the doomers and gloomers. There are always going to be the doomers and gloomers. That's where their consciousness is at the moment. You have to love them, bless them, and release them. Let them do that. Someday they'll wake up, perhaps. If they don't, that's none of our business.
It's who told you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not your job.
Yeah.
If they're asleep, let them sleep.
Yeah, because telling someone, it's so interesting to share some. People ask Jim and I about the class all the time, but they're like, they're a little leery of. They're kind of curious.
Share something about it, and then all of a sudden they can be back.
They're sort of curious, but then they're leery.
Yes, because they think, well, first of all, that most people think metaphysics is against God. You say it's mm-hmm. the Antichrist because we're saying something good. Now that one is always amazing.
Then you've got those when you say God are like.
Yeah.
No.
But you see, if you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, there's nothing you can do with those people.
Yeah.
And they don't have it.
Yeah.
So I just let them go. I never argue with my brother and my sister-in-law, and they're so far to the left of something, you know. I'm sure they think I'm the Antichrist, but I think, okay, thank you. I don't say, that's it. You see, arguing with somebody is no good whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
A man convinced against his will is of the same conviction still.
Is that interesting?
I forget who that was. You're lucky I could pull that one out.
Well, I only ask that because I'm doing an Emerson class right now.
Oh. Look,
it doesn't sound like Emerson.
It doesn't.
He didn't do rhymes.
Yes, he did.
No, that's right. And it
that brings me to you, mister.
He didn't make that
this guy sense. Can write like nobody's business.
No, that's true, though. You know, you don't change your mind if you're forced to. All you do is just acquiesce. Get the people back.
Well, the same way with we go to war to stop an ideology. Killing people does not stop an ideology.
No, it
stays the same. We think, oh, we'll kill them all, and that'll
right.
That way. It doesn't kill
they
them.
They grow more.
Well, the idea is there.
The shell grows back.
You can't kill the
right.
idea exactly. by killing the person.
Exactly.
It's so stupid.
Here's Emerson. He ends the success with, "So near to man," wrote Emerson, "when Judy whispers low, thou must," the youth replies, "I can."
Okay.
See how he just doesn't make sense all the time? I mean, it does, but it's like,
Man was born to be rich, or inevitably grows rich by the use of his faculties. Emerson.
Get your bloated nothingness out of the way.
So.
Emerson.
You have to remember that you were born to be rich. You cannot sit around and say, "I'm part of God."
And I'm
poor.
Yeah.
And that came from the idea that they said, well, God loves the poor. Well,
mm-hmm.
God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said the poor will always be among us. What Jesus meant by that was poor in consciousness. People with a poor consciousness will always be among us.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean the poor will always be among us. But the church likes to tell you it's great to be poor because God loves the poor person. And if you're, like my friend Doug the Baptist, absolutely, he doesn't make it on this plane. Anytime he doesn't get what he wants on this plane, it's waiting for him in heaven. And the more he suffers and gives up here, the better station he's going to have in heaven. Now, where the hell that came from is beyond me.
Well, that's like the 72 virgins.
Well, yeah, waiting for
if you. If you blow yourself up for Allah,
yeah.
Where
yeah.
did that come from?
That sounds like a good
yeah.
day to me.
Now, like God, yeah. But like God bargains and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, people, you see, with everything in understanding.
Didn't say that the 72 virgins are all going to look like Bella Abzug.
Yeah.
And be Jewish?
Yeah. And yeah, be Jewish. And have a little pig under each arm.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. You know, talking about not agreeing, I was talking with someone the other morning after a meeting, and I just made reference to Oprah because of something she said. He went, "Oh, I can't stand her."
Really?
And I said, "Oh, really? How come?" And he said, "Oh, you know, her audiences go crazy over her, and it's ridiculous." And I said, "Well, but that's her audience." Instead of going, "Oh, yeah, I don't like her either." And like in the past, I would have just agreed. And then what I said was so interesting. I said, "You know, that would have been like hating the Beatles because the girls screamed in 64 when they came to Ed Sullivan."
Yeah.
And he went, "Wow, oh, you know, I'll give that some thought. Maybe I'll watch a show."
Oh my.
And I thought, by not just going, so the whole thing of not waking them up, but also speaking up.
Yes.
Right.
You must always stand your ground. You cannot let people plow over you. But you don't change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's my understanding. Here's how I think about it. If you don't think about it, all well and good. Let them do what they want. Let them do it what they want.
Yeah.
But in this new year, 2008, make it a point that this is the year you're going to get what you want, that this is going to be the best year of your life. And if you're going to know at a cellular level that you're worthy, deserving, totally valuable, and that you matter, so that your mind never refutes that, you're saying. It's your mind that refutes it. Mm-hmm. You don't think God says, oh, no, that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true. You see, what you have to know, when we say it's a mental world, when we say that there's a law of attraction out there, there's a law of cause and effect, this thing that we call God thinks of you what you think of yourself. God thinks of you what you think of yourself.
Because it's God.
Because it's God. So you must change your thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the outside world wants to say, it's all right for you to think all kinds of crazy things about yourself and hate yourself and everything because God loves you. And that people fall back on that little thing. That's a little catch in the whole thing. Oh, well, God loved me, so who cares if I love myself or not? You better care if you love yourself or not. You better care. Why do you have to care that you love yourself?
Because you are in the same mind of God. I mean, it can't be anything but.
It can't be anything but. And
you
are the only person that's never going to leave you.
Right.
Now, you're here for an eternity. Why don't you make up your mind in 2008 that you're going to change your thinking? Do you want to carry it with you to the next dimension, the next dimension? You see? It'll just keep going. It goes on for an eternity. You have a chance to stop it now. What are you going to wait another 3 billion years and then decide, oh, I think I'll change now?
Yeah.
You see? Saving yourself.
I guess the thing, the brand name religion says it'll be all different, but it won't be because we're going to be the same people.
Right.
As we pass through to this transition, and our same thoughts are going to be with us.
Yes, because we take our consciousness with us.
Yikes. Doesn't bode well.
You're going to get a good consciousness with you.
Right.
When Betty Davis heard Joan Crawford died, somebody said to her, do you know that Joan Crawford died? And she said, doesn't mean she's changed.
That's true.
That's absolutely true. Doesn't mean she's changed. So think about that. So in 2008, make this the year that you make that change so that you don't carry it with you throughout eternity and give up the idea that you're attached to any physical thing or being on this plane of action.
Wow, that'd be great.
Give up the idea that you're attached to your parents. Love your parents, but don't be attached to them. Don't say, I have to think this way because my family felt this way. Mm-hmm. I have to think this way because it's in my genes. That's a bunch of bull. It's a bunch of twaddle. Give that up. Give it up. Know in this 2008 that you're whole, complete, and perfect. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I bet Betty and Joan are working together right now, because they probably neither one of them changed.
Oh, no.
And didn't like the other, so.
They're working it out.
They got the same gig.
But think of those things. People think, oh, well, it's going to be better in the next life. If you don't make this life better, you want to take it with you. You don't
care.
Oh,
Lord, no. We just want to think that so we don't have to do the work now.
Yes.
I mean, you know, isn't that just kind of the deal? If we go, oh, well.